From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Today, Iraq has an interim constitution. 25 members of the Governing Council signed the document with gold pens in an elaborate ceremony. That ceremony was supposed to have happened on Friday. It was delayed after Shiite members of the council raised objections. The Shiite delegates were following the suggestions of Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani. He's the spiritual leader of Iraq's Shiite majority. We'll hear more about the Constitution itself in a moment, but first, NPR's Steve Inskeep has a profile of the powerful cleric who has repeatedly forced the U.S. to change its plans.
When Iraqis talk about Grand Ayatollah Sistani, some like to tell a story about what happened when U.S. Administrator Paul Bremer tried to meet him. The Iranian-born Ayatollah declined the offer to discuss Iraq's political future. According to the story, which is told here by political analyst Saad Jawad, the Ayatollah sent Bremer a message instead.
He told him, why coming to me? I am an Iranian and you are an American, so why don't you go to the Iraqi people? They are the people with interest. So this was a very clever, I should think, answer.
Though he was born outside this country, millions of Iraq's Shiite Muslims consider Sistani their spiritual leader. He lives in the holy city of Najaf, just around the corner from the tomb of Ali, a central figure in the Shiite faith. In his neighborhood, the streets are lined by religious bookstores and video stores that attract customers by playing the speeches of prominent clerics. But you won't hear Sistani's voice here. He doesn't speak in public. Najaf residents rarely see more than his face on a poster, with his thick white beard, heavy black eyebrows, and a black turban. In fact, the 75-year-old almost never leaves his house.
But he knows everything going on in Iraq. Everything.
Dr. Raja Habib Khuzai is a member of Iraq's Governing Council, and she's one of many Iraqi politicians who've made a pilgrimage up a winding side street to the simple house where Sistani lives.
We sat on the floor. He sat in front of me, and he talked, not loudly, some of the words I couldn't understand. The accent is, you know, like Iranian. His son was, in between us, you know, translating some of the words which I can't understand.
Dr. Raja wanted the Grand Ayatollah's blessing for her effort to promote women's rights. Sistani said he agreed, as long as the women were educated. He spent his life offering such carefully qualified opinions, interpreting Islamic rules for modern life. Sistani has a website offering advice as detailed as a legal contract on everything from personal finance to sex to artificial insemination. But he avoided making political pronouncements until the U.S. invasion. Clerics who spoke out during Saddam Hussein's rule were imprisoned or killed, and Saad Jawad says the Ayatollah intended to survive.
There is a sort of belief in the Shia sect and in Islam in general that when you see a big danger that threatens your life or the life of your followers, you have to bend a little bit and conceal your beliefs or your ideas and wait for this tyrant to be removed and then try again.
Now that it's safe to speak out, one of his representatives, Sheikh Abdul Mehdi al-Karbala'i, says Sistani considers it his duty to speak. His spokesman says, now there's a chance to achieve our rights and obtain our demands. Sistani is seizing that chance, first demanding elections and now working to influence the Constitution with statements that are frequently as nuanced as his religious teachings. His spokesman says the elderly cleric reaches those political positions with the help of his son, who leaves the house to serve as his father's eyes and ears. But the spokesman insists it was Sistani alone who delayed the signing of Iraq's constitution. One of Sistani's fellow ayatollahs, Mohammad Taqi al-Mudaresi, calls the constitution a time bomb. Mudaresi says the Constitution gives too much power to a minority group, ethnic Kurds, and he says that could provoke a civil war. After hearing Sistani's objections, five Shiite council members refused to sign until they made a pilgrimage to his house over the weekend. Sistani relented for now, but Shiite leaders made it clear that they will try to change the document later. In this, they were supported by another carefully worded statement tonight from Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani. He didn't explicitly reject the Constitution, but he said its provisions will not be legitimate unless they're eventually confirmed by an elected government. That statement appears to give Grand Ayatollah Sistani room to fight again after the American occupation formally ends. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Baghdad.